I hear the music, and it is time for another edition of Wheel Travel, the podcast. I am your host, Jason Cobb, coming to you live from the compound out here in beautiful Quitman, Arizona. Oh, I'm not alone. Joshua, you're here. Hi, buddy.
Hi.
What's going on? Nice of you to hobble in.
Oh, God. Really? We're going to start that already?
Right off the bat. What are you doing? How come your leg don't worky?
It's not good, Dad. It's not good. Well, what was that? Was that last? Last Monday. We're now on week two of this.
Yeah, 1 week and a day.
Yeah.
All right.
Let
me set the setting.
Hold on.
Beautiful, cool out. Slightly cloudy.
Well,
the ground totally saturated with perfect amount of water, just enough to go riding.
So. We get back from Laughlin, and the next day, it is perfect out. I decide to go riding. The first clue should have been that my bike didn't start.
Yeah, that was a sign. Well, clue number one, Dad, you want to go riding and it's perfect out? No. Number two, your bike doesn't start. You should have been done. You should have been sitting on the couch with me.
Okay. So then, strike three comes along, and on the last lap, too. Because it was getting dark.
It was dark, yeah. Yeah, it was borderline dark. You should have had the headlights on.
I decided to go out for one more lap, and what do we always say?
Yeah,
that last lap always gets you.
Always gets you. I'm just going to do one more, Dad. Hey, by the way, time me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the clock's still ticking because that lap didn't get completed.
You haven't finished it yet, yeah.
Because
Six days, 9 hours, 22 minutes.
Crashed. And we ended up in urgent care.
And you really didn't even crash that bad. I mean, I was first one on scene, so.
What do you mean first one on scene? You were the only one on scene.
And I'd like you to remember that.
Nobody else in this household cares.
I want you to remember that. It wasn't funny, but the instinctual thing for me to do was I heard it happen. I knew I've heard that sound before, and I immediately started running. And then when Josh started calling for his dad, I turned around and went back and grabbed my truck and then went blowing through the bushes and found him. So I actually had a vision in my head of running over you while you were on the ground when I couldn't see
you. I thought about that as you came around that corner, very hot.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's gonna run over me.
He sees me, right?
And
he sees me.
I'm debating right now if you're going to swing the ass end around and slide around that corner.
Yeah.
If I should go towards the middle of the truck.
Yeah, do you go in or do you go out?
Or do I go out?
Yeah.
And at that point, it would have just been rolling.
Yeah.
That was all I could do.
Ugh.
So, anyway, we go to urgent care. Urgent care tells us nothing. Thanks, Mom.
They say we can only do x-rays, so we can only tell you if the bone is okay. And as it turned out, at the end of the story, you'll find out that the bone is not okay.
Bone is not okay.
So, you know, they're strike one, right?
Yes.
So
we end up in orthopedic care, go to see the doctor, and he's playing around with my knee and says, oh, yeah, your MCL's gone. And I went, okay, listen here, smart guy. I could have told you that. You know when I walk and my leg bends inward, not regularly? Yeah, I could have told you that. And so we go and get an MRI, and I'm praying. I was certain. I'm not going to lie. I was 100% certain. That was the only thing we had wrong. It would be, you know, a month to 2 months.
A lot of physical therapy, you know. But get it done.
Yeah, and, you know.
And you had Alex, you know, telling you what's it doing because he's been through this.
Right.
Right.
And Alex thought I had a torn MCL and a stretched ACL, which is fine. None of that requires surgery. The MCL will put itself back together. Just takes time. So no running for now. And we go
running. Boy, that put an end to that quickly, right?
Yeah.
Because you do a lot of running.
I do a ton of running. You know, running to the kitchen when Mom calls for dinner, running to the toilet, stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
So the doctor looks over the MRI results.
So you went to a specialist yesterday.
Yeah.
You went to Banning, and they said MCL for sure, but you should go see somebody else, right? This is now doctor number three that you've seen, right?
No. It was the same doctor.
That was the same guy?
Same guy.
Okay. So he takes the time to look over.
So he looks over the knee.
Was he at Banning when you saw him the first time?
We never went to Banning.
So you've only been to Core?
Yes.
Okay.
So he takes a look. He's playing with the knee. You know, definitely MCL gone. So he looks over the MRI, and we later find out after the MRI results that, oh, by the way, you know how your PCL's gone? Yeah, that's a for sure thing. Oh, your ACL? Yeah, you snapped that too. Meniscus? Oh, tore that. Oh, and by the way, you fractured something. What do you say? He said like the knee.
Yeah, the back of the knee.
Knee horn.
Horn was chipped. So we didn't know if it was laying around there or if it was fractured, but then he definitely did say fracture.
Yeah.
And so the second thing, the second thing out of his mouth was, yeah, you did ACL, MCL, meniscus, all that. The first thing out was, yeah, you need surgery.
Oh, yeah.
So when are they cutting on you, buddy?
We don't know yet. We find out tomorrow.
Okay. Well, what a bummer.
Yep.
So this is a year-long commitment at this point, probably?
To get back to normal is what they're saying.
To normal.
To where I was prior to the incident.
To be able to wipe your own butt, you're 4 months away?
4 and a half, but anyway.
I swear, it's just my knee. Why are you wiping my butt?
That is the hardest thing about this, though. Is
getting crouching
position, situated on the toilet,
hidden tiger, crouching and then, dragon,
and I can't use any other bathroom here because I need my counter to hold myself up.
Oh, TMI, but go on.
Yeah, well, that's it. I just need to hold myself up with one arm.
Sorry, I was intrigued there for a second. Wow. Well, I knew you were hurt when you asked me to after you got out of the shower the other day to come in and help you get dressed, and I hadn't seen that. That movie since you were 6 months old. So.
Hey, TMI.
Yeah, it was, you know, hey, nice job. Nice job. Looking good.
So your product.
Where the hell have we been since we last talked to everybody? We have been to Sand Sports Super Show. We've been to the Off-Road Expo. We've been to the Trophy Light Owners Meeting. We've been to Motocross Donations. We've been to Laughlin twice. We've been to Palm Springs. We've been to the Powder Puff race, and of course the Monday No Fun Day, of when you fell over and disintegrated your knee. So,
yes.
Sand Sports Super Show, amazing show, went really really well. We had a small little booth, no big deal. I think we've talked about it on here before, but it went really really well. They had a ton of people, so many people that they filled up, they sold out the parking lot, so they had to move people across the way. All really good stuff about the industry, very positive things happening. Then we had a couple weeks off, and then the Off-Road Expo. Off-Road Expo was extremely well. We had a cool booth, really, really cool booth. And we also had the Trophy Light Owners Meeting. How do you think that went?
Good. I wish we had a little bit better turnout, but I understand some of the people that couldn't be here. I do appreciate, you know, John Ferrari coming all the way from Colorado, Chris Wardle coming from Utah. Guys traveled a long way to be there.
To be part of it, yeah, for sure.
And that'll never get forgotten. I wish some of the more local guys could have been there.
Yeah, kind of weird, you know, that you know, some of the guys that live in the area went around. You know, Greg Bragg had a wedding. You know, unfortunately, you got to go do those things. Life does happen, right?
Right.
But he was there Sunday, which was great to see him there.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
But we did have it Facebook Live and Instagram Live and all of that stuff. So that was cool. And I never saw it personally, but it sounds like we got quite a good response on there. And we had at least a lot of Trophy-like guys tuning in on it and listening. Even though they weren't there to partake on voting, but they could, you know, give us input and stuff like that.
Yeah, I knew that there was some people tuning in because I got a lot of texts later about things I had said during the meeting. So I knew that they were kind of tuning in at some level. So that was good. Yeah, but the show went extremely well. And that, of course, turned right into our trip to Ripbud. Motocross Donations.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable. I truth be told, I was looking for a way out of the trip the week of, because I had so much stuff to do.
Yes, you were. You were desperately trying, and it was not going to happen.
And I'm so glad that I went. First of all, USA, and predominantly the people of Michigan, the people of the Midwest. I am proud as hell of you guys. Absolutely phenomenal turnout as far as supporting Team USA, being gracious hosts to the foreigners that were there for the race.
Yes, I was proud of that, because we did talk to a couple of foreigners, and the first thing they said was, "Oh, it's great, you know, everyone's so nice here, and this and that." And I'm like, "Do you know where you're at?"
Yeah, yeah, you know, you're in Tractorville, right? And they bleed red, you
yeah.
know? So and blue.
Technically, white. We all bleed red, but
yeah,
you know.
That's why I added the blue and the white. I wasn't sure where I was going with that, but anyway, so. Absolutely packed the place. We have never seen a larger motocross event ever.
Nor
live.
I don't know if we. I don't know. Okay, so was there more people at the Italy motocross?
No.
Or at Redbud?
No, I know for a fact there wasn't. I mean, they're talking. The guys from FIM are talking about this literally being the largest FIM motorcycle spectator event live that they've ever had.
Really?
Yes, that's the word.
Jeez.
So they anticipated over 100,000 people, and they got that and then some.
Yeah, didn't they have that in like pre-sale tickets?
Yeah, they had eclipsed the total attendance number for Redbud the National in pre-sales. So just in pre-sales alone, they had already gone bigger than what the, you know, the regular National was.
Right.
And then they, you know, of course, the added international flair of this made it a lot more intriguing. But it was absolutely amazing. We pulled in. We did a trip from hell. Oh, my gosh. I'm so tired. Went to a dance thing last night, and I'm friggin' exhausted. Anyway, so we left here at noon on Thursday and picked up Mr. Watson, and we were privileged enough to have him join us on our Odyssey, and he was a huge part of it. He didn't join us, it was his party, and we drove, what was it, 26 hours plus the time change, so it actually was more like 29 hours, but anyway, so we hit every fast food restaurant and every Love's truck stop between here and Buchanan, Michigan. Pulled in just in time for the Legends dinner, and our buddy JT was kind enough to we knew full well that the second that the dinner started, we would pull him out of there to get us in,
of course,
and we did not disappoint. And got there. It was absolutely unbelievable. The amount of RVs and trailers, and it looked like Whitman. It was amazing how many RVs were out there, how many trailer houses. But
that was – Redbud is probably bigger than Whitman.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
There was
– not square miles, but
100% more – maybe square miles too. That was a big place.
That is a big place.
Oh, for sure. They tripled us in people, if not quadrupled us. I don't think we have 25,000 people here.
No, no way. I think we're 14,000 or 15,000.
Oh, so they multiplied us by like 10?
Yeah. I mean, it was considerable.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of like when I grew up in Parker, there were more people in my graduating high school class than there was in the town of Parker. So if that tells you anything.
How does that work?
A lot of kids.
Kids right getting there. Shuffled in from Hope and...
Shuffled in from everywhere. No, I mean Central High here in Phoenix. When I
moved
back. Oh,
gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a culture shock because there was more people at the graduation than there were in the town of Parker.
Yeah, you were back to a real civilization.
Yeah. And I couldn't read at a third grade level. So anyway. So Redbud was absolutely amazing on Friday. Saturday, we get there for qualifying. USA does a really nice job of qualifying, what, ninth, I believe.
I can figure that out for you.
They rode fairly well. Now, it was raining, drizzling most of the time. It rained during the night quite a bit. And lo and behold, on Sunday, we had ourselves an old-fashioned mutter. And which is exactly, if you guys remember back to our last podcast, is exactly what I said we didn't want.
It wasn't that bad. They did a nice job with
that
track.
They did an unbelievable job. And from what we understand, what happens in that deal is they don't rip it. They leave it, the ground, as hard as possible, and then the water runs off. And then right before the race, they rip it.
Yeah, and first they take that top layer off.
Right.
That's got all that water in it,
yeah.
And then they rip what's underneath.
Then they rip what's underneath, and there was actually dust coming up. And
by race two of the day for the real racing, you know, right after the B final, that first actual race.
Yeah,
I mean that dirt was really good.
Yeah, there was a couple spots where it was obviously pretty bad, but then all the sand that they added, it was nice. I mean, I wanted to ride it, and I hate riding in mud, so it couldn't have been that bad, but. The bottom line is it threw the Americans off just enough that they totally sucked. They didn't just suck. They totally sucked. And
yeah.
I'll tell you how bad USA rode at the Motocross de Nations in the United States. They rode so goddamn bad that a team whose rider did not finish his first race and did not start his second race beat them by three positions. That's how bad the motocross donations went for the United States. Now, on the other hand, some heroes were born right before our eyes in the Puerto Rican national team, who we were very fortunate enough to be guests of,
yes,
and to be hosted by. And we were there with our buddies Travis Pastrana and Kevin Windham and Ryan Sipes. We didn't get to spend much time with, but Hubert was a gracious host. And Ricky Johnson was an amazing host. And
yes,
spending time with those guys in the Red Bull rig and getting to kind of see, we were in the middle of the biggest buzz of all of motocross the nations. And then they went out and handled business. It was unbelievable. They actually went out and they won the B qualifier. Ryan Sipes is an animal.
Yes.
And one of my new favorite riders. Kevin Windham was amazing. And
he was an animal in that B final.
He was an animal as well. And Travis Pastrana, not going to lie, I was a little disappointed in Travis's efforts over the weekend, but it was enough for those guys to get in. He showed up when it mattered, which was the B final. And they made the announcement that they were not going to race the A finals if they made it. They just wanted to get into the show and raise funds for Puerto Rico. But, of course, because those guys are all ultra-competitive,
oh, yes,
they all made it to the start line. And Travis ends up taking himself out in the second race by trying to do a backflip in the mud off of
on the parade lap
with Kevin Windham. It was friggin' awesome. It was total Travis and total Kevin. And Ryan Sipes, I have the utmost respect for you three. And thank you for at least giving us something positive, because if it wasn't for those three being the bright spot of the motocross donations for the Americans, it would have looked like a David Koresh compound by the end of it, and you don't even know who that is. But
I don't.
There was a huge, you know, a bunch of people got killed in Waco, Texas, because this guy who said he was a prophet of God, a bunch of people killed themselves, and then a bunch of people. So it would have. Then the FBI got involved, and, you know, typical government stuff. But anyway, it would have looked bad because people would have been jumping off of trees and running out in traffic and shooting themselves.
I think that would have been the end
with their
of
beer
American,
bong and,
American motocross right there.
Yeah, we would have been a supercross only country, which we almost are now, obviously. After watching our performance at the Motocross of Nations.
Yes.
Now, on the other hand...
But hold on.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Who... I can find it. Hurlings.
Yes.
Hurlings decides to come over and try Supercross.
When?
How do you think he does?
Oh, if he did. This is a hypothetical.
If, yes.
Top 10, doesn't win anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Give him a year?
You didn't say that. You give him a year?
Yeah.
He's your new champion. He cannot beat outdoor motocross. He cannot be beat. And I don't know. He is so strong and so good. And here's the thing. He doesn't give a shit about what the lines are or what he has to do.
Yes.
And here we're such pampered little bitches that we have to have a perfect berm, a perfect rut, perfect jump face, and
oh, I'm not hitting that. It's got a rut on the top of it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not hitting that.
So, how about lap after lap after lap, Herlings and his teammate, what, DeSalle or whatever, hitting
no, not it wasn't DeSalle. It was
so the dumbasses who put the track together, after we just said how amazing it was and what a great job they did, they put a jump in front of the takeoff for LaRocco's leap. And I think
Koldenhoff.
And I think they did that so that I don't know why they did it. It was a horrible decision. And what I think they should have done is after they knew that it was going to be a mutter, they should have bladed it gone.
Yes.
And so that people had a run. But the European guys, they figured out how to do it. They literally bunny hopped over the first roller, so they landed on the downside of that roller and then hit LaRocco's leap, and lap after lap after lap, they did it. It was unbelievable.
Laughing in our faces.
They literally were. They were looking over at the crowd, playing with the crowd, having fun, and putting 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds a lap on us, and absolutely making us their bitch. And they should have. They were better than us that day. I'll tell you how bad we were. Eli Tomac got beat by lights riders in both motos, or in open riders. So guys that he normally schools at motocross nationals
were beat. Dylan Ferrandis
killed him.
Beat Eli Tomac.
He beat the U.S. team.
Yes.
The entire U.S. team. Dylan Ferrandis.
Yeah.
Who's not a bad rider, but he's not a great rider.
No, he's not a top three guy. Unless it's a mutter. Have you noticed that?
He runs up front. He's one of the elite.
He's a top five guy.
For sure.
But you put Osborne out there and you put Cooper out there. He's not a top three guy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's certainly not a top three guy if you have Plessinger and Osborne racing, right?
Right.
Because then you have, you know, Savacci and you have Cincerillo and you have, you know, all those guys.
Miguel Rath and
Hunter Lawrence.
Hunter Lawrence was on fire.
I think he beat the U.S. team by himself. It was absolutely amazing. That was the deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a long time ago. I'm sure you've all heard about it. Then 2 weeks later is Monster Energy Cup. By the way, did I mention how proud of the people I was that supported the United States back there? They were packed. They were gracious. They were awesome. It was really, really cool to see people who love this country. Because that doesn't happen all the time. We all like to say we do, but those guys fucking love this country. And America. Oh, before we stop talking about that, we have to talk about the pit bike race. Because
oh, yes.
That was one of the biggest spectacles I've ever seen in my life. I have never seen anything like it, and it was the best race I've never seen.
That is the closest we will get to an apocalypse.
So Saturday night, they decide to have the Motocross of Nations pit bike race put on by some European guy and brings a bunch of guys from all over. They had 10 teams.
Yes.
10 teams.
Yes. And from what I heard, these guys were treated just like the riders who were racing in the Motocross of Nations.
Absolutely.
They were flown in. They had it paid for. They had everything. They had facilities. They had
team uniforms.
Yes.
They had everything. So they get here, and one of the dealerships back in the Midwest provided 10 Yamaha TTR 110s.
Yes, that were going on. They were up for auction.
They were
going
to go for auction after this was
right
done. But they donate them, and the guys show up. It was pretty cool because they put every bike in the back of a UTV, And the team was in the back of the UTV, in the bed of the UTV, and they drove him out. And fans were going nuts. There was 50,000 people out there. And we were all being very, very polite. And we were slowly working our way to the banners. And finally, when we got to the banners, we all stopped. We had a perfectly clear track. And then it happened. One person walked over the banner and out into the infield. And then a second. And then 10,000. And then 20,000. And then 30,000 people. And next thing you know,
there's 50,000 people standing on the track.
On the track.
On the track. Not aside from it watching.
And
on the track.
As we sat there saying, there's no way in the world that this is going to happen, all of a sudden the seas parted. And Ryder started coming out of the crowd on the track.
For their parade lap.
For their parade lap. They were doing their practice in... I couldn't believe it. I thought I was in Mexico for a second watching the Baja 1000 on Zoo Road. It was absolutely unbelievable. And riders were having to ride around people, and people are high-fiving them and pouring beers on them. And it was crazy. It was absolute mayhem. So the guys don't go out for a second lap. They're supposed to have like a 20-minute practice deal. They don't go out for a second lap. They sit there and they go, okay, what the hell are we going to do? We can't race like this. So we sat there for, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, 30, 45 minutes.
And the crowd is going crazy. They're shooting off fireworks. They're
from the middle of the
From the middle of the pack.
On
yeah,
top
right.
of a tabletop on the track.
On the track. And, you know, it's just total mayhem, chaos, party. There's nothing but liquid being thrown up in the air. And every once in a while you see somebody crowd surfing and flags and those plastic big horns. You know, that.
Yes.
That they do that thing.
Mexico had their rattle thing.
Yeah, and the Italians have their cowbell, and the French have their air horns, and the Canadians have their wine, and by that I don't mean the liquid. Anyway, so it was unbelievable. So I went over to the guy from Yamaha who was putting it on, and I said, "What the hell are we going to do? What? There's no way this is going off." And he said, "No, absolutely not. We're sending the riders out of here, and we're done." So we thought we'd get the jump on everybody. We head out of there. The riders pass us on the way up. And then we hop into our race minivan. And as we're sitting in line to get out, then the riders passed us again.
Yes.
And we thought they were just bored. And they ended up somehow clearing the track enough to race.
From what I heard... police had to show up.
Yes.
And start getting everybody out of there.
Yeah, I heard
and
that
there was full security for that race.
Right, but they were still on the edge of the track. They just wanted the track cleared.
Yes.
When we go back next year, there'll be a 7-foot-high chain link fence with barbed wire around it.
Barbed wire.
So, I guess it's barbed wire.
It is.
Sorry, not barbed wire. Barbed wire. I had a stroke.
He's a great guy too.
Bob Wire? Yeah, he was. Yeah. Robert Wire is what I call him, but yeah, he was a great guy. So anyway, it was really, really cool to see the passion, the energy. Took some pictures of it. It was just unbelievable.
We need to change our flag.
I'm sorry?
We need to change our flag.
The Stars and Stripes?
Yeah.
The one that the songs are written about and
yeah.
Iwo Jima, all that stuff?
New song. Have some rap remix to it or whatever. First five people.
Yeah.
This is the open in MXG.
Right.
P. Three colors, all in lines. Netherlands.
Why do we want to be? Well,
France.
Just because they're faster than us, we want to change our flag.
Well, I'm just saying, if it gives us an edge.
I don't want to do anything like France. Let's be very, very clear. Nothing like France.
We have like maybe a middle finger in the middle. Or
how did
like
France?
That?
How did France win this again? So if you don't know the story about the team from where's Herlings from?
Netherlands.
If you didn't hear the story, so the first race is the 450 and the 250 guys.
Yes.
It's the most mutter of all races. Herlings goes out there, falls down in the beginning of it. And ends up putting a hurtin' on everybody and runs away with it. absolutely bitch slapped the world, literally, right in front of us. His teammate, who was on the 250, halfway through, takes his goggles off because they're covered in mud so he can see, gets hit in the eye with a rock. All he has to do is finish. He can't finish. So they take him to the medic station. In the meantime, the next race comes up, which is the 250 race and the open race. Their teammate goes out and absolutely bitch slaps the world. And this guy can't start the race.
Hunter Lawrence got second.
Hunter Lawrence got second on a 250.
I don't think he was on a 250.
He was their open rider?
I think so.
Anyway, regardless. So now these guys, Netherlands.
He was not.
Has gone
open rider.
One, he was a 250 guy. He killed it.
He went 8-2.
Unbelievable.
Hunter Lawrence.
Beat the U.S. by himself.
Yeah.
So now they won the 450 race. They go out and they win the open race.
And now
then is the and their rider doesn't start the 250 race. So then they go out and go 1-2 in the last race. So they won all three motos, got second place in the other moto. All they needed from their rider was to go out there and circle around in 31st place, and they would have won it.
Yes.
And he doesn't start his second race because of his eye. Understandable, but they end up not winning the motocross to nations that they dominated because of it.
Yes.
Crazy. Absolute crazy. Biggest story of the weekend by far. Wasn't the Americans. It was that.
I don't know. I think Puerto Rico beats that.
Yeah. There's a part of me that's not real happy with Puerto Rico taking a spot away from a country that would have ridden all three motos really hard. How bad did Japan suck?
God, Japan was awful.
I expected a lot from those guys.
B final, they went 5th, 6th, and 12th.
In the B final?
In the B final.
That one guy that was 12th, that was looked like he was 7 years old and still in diapers. The guy that we were like, that's got to be a girl. That's got to be a girl. That's got to be a girl. And then it turned out to be Japan's number 2 rider.
Yes.
Not number 3, but they're 2. Anyway, unbelievable. So, Monster Energy Cup happened. Just real quick, Josh, what did you think of Monster Energy Cup? Eli Tomac wins a million. Savachi lets him go in the last moto.
Right move. I do it. My teammate about to win $1 million. I'm brand new to the team.
I'm the new guy on the team.
I let him go. And quite honestly, I think Eli was close enough.
I think Eli had it covered.
Because Savachi made a mistake in that corner. And then Eli pulled right up to him. And Savachi waved him on by. And I think that's because Savachi knew, this guy's got me covered. But I'm going to look like the hero right now.
So Savachi was in a no-win or a no-lose situation. And he chose the no-lose situation. Because I let the team boss by.
Yeah.
I look like, literally, excuse the pun, $1 million.
Yes.
We win some fan $1 million.
Yes.
I solidify myself on the team as the second place guy on the team that's a true team player.
Yes.
And if he does pass me, I don't look like his bitch.
Yes. Which is weird because Savachi was not a team player on Pro Circuit Cowie.
No, he really wasn't.
He was a me, stay away. I'm going to go win this.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
He never really won anything. But
he's got, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I went to a dancing last night. I'm exhausted. So he's got a 1-year deal.
Is that so?
1-year deal. Because that's Adam Cincirillo's ride.
Oh, yes.
So.
And he looked hungry.
Yeah, he did. He looked really good. They're going to have to make a decision next year. But I, like I said, and I've heard this on Pulp and stuff, I think they put – JT feels the same way. They put a third guy on the truck next year if this continues.
Oh, for sure.
If this
Quite continues. Honestly, I don't think Cian Cirillo will be as good as Savacci on a 450.
It doesn't matter. He's Kawasaki's Golden personality. Yeah. He's a good guy.
Well, he – and he
Savacci's
is.
Not – Savacci, the press doesn't like Savacci. The fans don't like Savacci. I don't like Savacci. Tomac, I don't like Tomac. The fans don't like Tomac. Only you like Tomac.
I like Tomac.
You and his dad.
John likes Tomac.
John
Tomac.
John Tomac likes?
Yes.
Yeah, his dad?
Yes.
And John Lewis?
We're on a first name basis.
Yeah? What about John Lewis?
I don't know. I'm going to guess and say that John Lewis does not like Tomac.
What is
you
Alex...
know what? I'm disappointed. I don't talk moto with John. I need to start doing that.
He was a factory mechanic. He corrects me every time I say a factory mechanic because he wasn't a factory mechanic. But
I'd like to think we were a factory team.
Well, but when he was doing Supercross mechanics, you know, he was doing it for that team that was helping out the riders trying to qualify and stuff. But he did that for 3 or 4 years. He truly was a Supercross mechanic, but just not at the factory level. But, I mean, super cool guy that... should be the first thing we all talk about is moto when it's you, me, and Alex and John sitting around at the races, but we don't.
We don't. We talk about desert racing.
Yeah.
Or some weird thing. Like, have you guys ever wondered why this bolt has this shaped head?
He was great at...
Off-Road Expo.
He was great at Off-Road Expo. He was great this last weekend at Powder Puff.
Oh, so, I forgot he was with you on there.
Yeah, he was there more than I was. So, Eli Tomac wins $1 million, wins all three rounds, the last one convincingly. Muscan was a disappointment. Biggest surprises in that whole thing? I think you have to go Malcolm with a fifth overall, right? Josh Grant on the podium at one point. Chad Reed on the podium at one point.
Josh Grant.
Chad Reed is back.
He's not.
He's faced his adversity, and he's back.
He's not back.
No?
He
was on the podium. At the biggest motorcycle race in the world. No, it really isn't that. But
oh god, that is tiny to read.
Savacci got third overall. Barcia got second overall. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it went Tomac, Barcia, Savacci, and you know they were making such a big to do over Savacci, but he really didn't. He wasn't consistent. I was surprised when I heard his totals. And then what happened to Blake Baggett? He was nothing.
Oh, Blake's done. He got bitch slapped by Tomac and Outdoors. And he's like, oh, well, I secured my ride for another couple of years.
You think that's it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so where was Cole Seeley? Where was Christian Craig? Where...
Cole Seeley was not there.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Christian
Where were those
Craig
guys?
Was not there.
Where was Plessinger?
Plessinger's probably still trying to get seat time on that 450, which is why I'm really surprised he wasn't there.
As Chad Reed says, and I agree with him, there's just no substitute for racing.
Yeah.
Cooper Webb, zero
sure,
factor.
I'm sure he's not the only one that said that, though. So
no,
he
coined that phrase. He's the only person that's ever said that.
Could we pick a different name? Because I'm not a big Chad Reed fan.
I love me some Chad Reed.
Oh, God.
He's
shut
the
up.
Man.
Shut up.
He is great.
You used to scream at your TV because
Chad Reed.
Oh, Chad Reed did that. Did you see what Chad Reed did? Oh, he flew off his dirt bike 50 feet in the air and landed on his ass. Oh, good for him.
Is that what he sound like? I think I have a more nasally...
Yeah, you're like one. This. Yeah, yeah. More nasally.
Anyway. MEC. What were the top 10?
Okay, so Tomac. Oh, God. Okay, hold on. This is
wow.
Main event one.
Could you not be more prepared?
Oh, gosh.
Wait, does that make any sense?
Hey, Thor.
Oh, now you're buying Thor gear. Fan-frippantastic.
Can we get, like, overall?
Overall results?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
Oh, right there.
Okay.
No, that one on the top?
Yeah, that'd be that big in the one thing in big riding?
Yeah. Oh God, we're buying Thor gear again.
So you're still really
okay.
Interested in that gear.
Tomac goes 1-1-1 for $1 million.
And wins a fan $1 million.
Yes. Jason Anderson goes 3-5-4 for second.
That's right. It wasn't Barsha. It was Anderson.
Yes. Joey Savacci.
Now, wait. What was his score?
3-5-4.
All right. Pretty consistent. Did you expect more out of him? I did.
Coming off an injury? No.
No? But he was healthy enough to ride one of the last motocross rounds, so he's been healthy a while. It's not like he's just feeling it out.
He was not 100% at that last moto.
Well, it was a mutter. His father was a mutter. His mutter was a mutter. Okay.
Joey Savacci with a 5-6-2.
See, 5-6. 6 is where I thought he would be. 6 through 10. The 2 is very surprising. The 5.
Well, that's where he will be when you add Pike and mm-hmm. you add Brayton.
Where was Weston Pike?
I don't know.
Where was Zach Osborne?
Ooh. Hurt?
Still?
Oh,
boy. Oh, boy. FedEx guy's here, Vinny. Oh, go get him. Go get him, buddy.
No, hey.
Whoa. Yeah. Out there.
That's
out
there. So loud in the mic.
I know. I know. I can see it spike it from here.
Really?
So how does he know that? He doesn't even know when I pull up, but yet FedEx guy. Rah, rah, rah. So I really want to take a mic out there and show. And he goes crazy at the door. Anyway, so who else?
Justin Barsha with a 4-2-7.
Expected more out of him.
I did too. Malcolm Stewart for fifth place.
Unbelievable.
On a Honda CRF 450. Going 7-4-6.
If he can live in the top 10 all year long, that's pretty damn good. Wow. Wow. Folks are just delivering a package, and that's what he does every single time. Every single time. The gouges in the wall by the windows on the side of the door are absolutely huge. Anyway.
I'd be curious to see what would happen if we opened the door. I don't think anything would happen, quite honestly.
Really? You think he's all bark?
Oh, yeah.
Good boy, Vinny.
No.
Good boy.
No.
Yeah, no, he's protecting us.
I want my packages safely.
You don't. Okay, so truth be told, you think he sits there on the doorstep barking?
I do not.
A little bitch.
I think he runs to the guy.
Runs up to the guy?
Yes. And does nothing. I think if the guy stood still.
So how do we pay the FedEx guy enough to try this?
I don't know. Can I dress up like a FedEx guy?
He has wanted a piece of him for a year. 2 years. How do we do this?
I don't know. You got to talk to FedEx. Can you call FedEx corporate? Ask him, hey, by the way, can we send the dogs out on your guy?
Hey, don't say no to this right away. I have an idea. Just hear me out.
Is there anyone you're about to fire? We can get rid of him real quick. Coming right behind Malcolm Stewart for a sixth place. Better than I thought.
Yeah? Who's that?
Josh Grant.
That's pretty cool.
Going 8-3-8.
Was Josh Grant the only one that did Monster Energy Cup and Red Bull Straight Rhythm?
Villopoto.
Oh, yeah, Villopoto. Okay, so Villopoto gets what, 12th? 11th?
Villopoto got 13th.
13th. Are you surprised by that? I'm shocked.
I am, too.
1 year.
I'm thinking, a 7th or an 8th.
I think he easily breaks the top 10. And he finishes 13th. What was his results?
12, 11, 13.
I mean, that's where he belonged. That's...
Yeah. It wasn't a fluke deal.
It wasn't one bad moto.
One bad moto.
Chad Reed did have a bad moto.
Yes, going 9-16-3.
Yeah.
But that 9 was not a bad moto.
That was the first moto?
Yes.
Huh. He had a good start, if I remember.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Yeah,
went all the way back to ninth.
So.
Or no. Yes. He had a great start and then got pushed wide in the first corner.
Hey, what happened to Ken Roczen in Motocross the Nations? And why wasn't he at Monster Energy Cup? He was a non. He was really good. He was second by time behind Antonio Caroli
at qualifying.
At qualifying, and disappeared on race day.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway.
Okay. So you want to hear something really interesting?
Yes.
Ninth place, going 13-8-10, beating Marvin Muscan by 2, Blake Baggett by 1, and Cooper Webb by 3. Jordan Smith on a KTM 250.
250. Wasn't Jordan Smith a Geico rider last year?
No.
Are you sure about that?
Mm-hmm.
Troy Lee Design?
Yes.
He was a Troy Lee Design? Mm-hmm. And he's on a Cowie now?
No, he's on a KTM.
Oh, I thought you said...
No, he's still a Troy Lee Design.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. That's impressive as hell. Especially with all the sand that was on the track.
Yes.
And the long starts and the... That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Is it time we get rid of the Joker lane?
No, I like it.
You do?
I do.
Should it have been harder?
For sure. I think it needs to be a bigger gap. And something like... Like... It's... I don't know. I think it needs to play a bigger role into the race if we're going to keep it. Because it did nothing.
I hate it.
It did absolutely nothing. And the problem is it does nothing at Rallycross.
Yeah, I don't see any advantage for it. I really don't.
I think...
It's the same thing to me as, like, you know how they do, like, split sections where... They're different rhythms and...
Yeah.
You know, I...
Those don't do anything for you? I love those.
I like it when they go... I like it when they figure out how to do different rhythms on the same section. So
yeah, but the problem
one guy's
is
quadding
with,
out where the other guy's going 3-1.
With today's Supercross tracks, there's one fast line and everyone gets comfortable with that.
Yeah, but that, shame on the track builders. They've got to do a better job.
No, there's multiple lines through this section, but... Guys find one line that they're comfortable with, and that's what they do all race long.
Okay, well, then that's why the Americans keep getting their ass kicked at Motocross Donations. Now, let me ask you this. If there was a Supercross Donations, America would win it the first 3 years until Europe got caught up. Then what happens? Do we still dominate?
Yeah. We're a top three team.
This just in. America sucks! What happened? We used to own the sport. We invented it.
Well, that's... Right, that's
maybe we
that's
I don't know.
But that's kind of why.
Why?
I mean, it was so big over here.
Now it's nothing.
Right.
When our economy is great, it's nothing. It's really sad. It really is. I don't know what the answer is. American two-wheel motorcycle...
I think we got to start breeding guys. I mean, like, hey.
When you say we got to, let's be very, like, very clear about
sorry,
that.
Sorry, from day one, hey, bud, your whole goal in life is to win the motocross
really,
nations.
Really, we're doing what the Russians and the Germans do?
Yes.
We're going, you will be a wonderful scientist, and you will be a motocross racer.
Yeah. I mean, okay. How else are we going to beat them?
Oh,
magically, let's go take...
But wouldn't you say that... I mean, take Danger Boy.
Okay. Or
Deegan.
Yeah.
How can you say he hasn't been bred from day one?
Oh, for sure he
Do you has. Think he's going to come up and win Motocross Donations? No, I think those days are over. Until we start practicing on tracks that are all cupped out and whooped out and nasty and hard and dry and dusty and muddy and ruddy and...
Until well, that's the thing. Is,
they show up in the morning at 6 a.m., they pound out their 30-minute motos, and then they go home before the track ever gets rough.
Actually, Brian makes Danger Boy Deegan ride at the end of the day because the track is all roughed up.
We'll see if that continues.
I hope so. But the problem is he gets to a factory level, and then what happens? Well,
they're going
to
do what the factory does, and that's
right.
Sit
that's,
around and
that's, hey, we
wine,
this,
cheese.
We groom this track for you. Would you like a sip of water? We have 17 different kinds.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want water that's been wrung out of the bark of a...
This boot is half a centimeter too tight. Right at the very top. Could we get a new one made?
It was like... It'll be like my experience when I was working for Impact in NASCAR.
Yes.
And...
Speaking of wine.
Right? What was that jackass's name? That...
Kurt Cobain?
You're close, buddy. Way to go. No, it wasn't Joey Logano, but it was the...
it was the Mexican dude.
No, Juan Pablo is a piece of shit. I'll tell you that right now. Juan Pablo, come to my motherfucking house and let's talk about it now that I'm not working for Impact. Right now. I beg of you. I hope to run into you someday at an industry party because I'm going to tell you exactly what I think of you. Anyway, not that I have an opinion on that guy, but...
wasn't it like Kyle Busch?
No, or... it was the FedEx guy. Denny Hamlin.
Oh.
It's Denny Hamlin. So Denny Hamlin, I walk into his little RV and he looks at me and he's like, are you the new Impact guy? And I go, well, yeah, I guess so. I'm the GM of Impact and here to make sure everything's okay.
You're the GM?
Yeah.
Damn. You were high up.
I was.
Shit.
Me and Richard, we ran that place, man.
Wow.
Anyway, so walk in. He looks right at me. He goes, you the new Impact guy? I go, yes. He says, look at this. And he turns around and he points at his butt. And he points at these two scallions that divide the red and blue on his FedEx uniform with this white thread. And they're supposed to come together at a perfect point. And I'm like, yeah, they look pretty even to me. He goes, where are they pointing? I said, I don't know. They're pointing kind of to the belt. I didn't know what he was getting at. He's like, they're supposed to be pointing at my butt. They're not pointing at my butt. They were a half inch too high, and he was fucking furious. Prima donnas like that, that's what our American motocrossers are turning into.
Yes.
Now, Juan Pablo, believe it or not, he actually had a legitimate gripe. He looked like he had on a saggy diaper the whole time we were making suits for him. We couldn't do anything right for that guy. I don't know who was measuring him. I don't know what was going on. Even when we had someone else measure him, we just couldn't figure it out. There's just some guys that happens for. But when he left, he tried his suit on. I looked at him and I went, wow, you're right, Juan. That looks horrible. He took it off, stepped out of it, slid it over to me on the floor and wanted me to pick it up. And I walked out of his trailer and it's still laying on the floor to this day. And his handler comes running behind me with the suit like, hey, I'm sorry. Here's the suit. Hey, I'm like, don't ever talk to me that way again. And I walked off. So then you go over to guys like, you know, Kenny Schrader and you walk over to the guys from Childress and you walk over to the guys from, they were super nice and how can we help? And, you know, then you get some of the older guys that were just hanging around, you know, the Morgan Shepherds and the what was that other guy's name Mark Martin. He was so nice, unbelievably nice. Anyway, that's what's happening to motocross guys is we got too big of a head on our shoulders.
Oh.
And we're prima donnas and we're little princesses.
Speaking.
Prince I.
Speaking of road racing.
Yeah, go ahead.
When was the last time you talked to Eric Fulgaris?
Holy Eric Fulgaris drop.
Yes.
I don't know. It's when were we at the Indy 500 last? It's been a long time. Really? I think there's been some texts or some whatever. Are you talking to him?
No, I'm not.
Oh. How did that go? How did that come up? How did you even remember that name?
Well, I don't.
He's a good kid. He's doing some instructional driving and driving for a BMW road race team or something. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. Good kid.
I just want to know if you knew what he was doing.
You know who else I really need to reach out to is John Kringus. And I feel like a total ass for how I treated that guy. I wonder what his kid's doing. I got to look them up and figure that out. But the rest of you. So right after Monster Energy Cup was Red Bull Straight Rhythm. Any surprises there? All two-stroke. Yes. 250, 125, very entertaining. Did you think that Ryan Villopoto was going to win that?
No.
Did you think Ryan Dungy was going to win that?
Yes.
You thought he was?
For sure.
And who won it?
Not him.
You don't even know? Well, it was last weekend. We watched it.
That was the only race I didn't watch. It was the final.
I watched it driving home from the Powder Perf race.
Because they take off. The starting gates drop. They take off. Video cuts out.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried explaining this.
Well, it's the same guy that won it last year in the 250s. Shane McElrath. He beat Ryan Dungy straight up.
Oh, yeah.
Beat him hard.
2-1.
Now, technically, he should. Ryan Dungy's been sitting on the couch for a year. Right?
Has he, though?
You shouldn't come off the couch and win a big race like that. And not that everybody was there. I get it.
I was disappointed at the turnout. I thought there would be bigger names.
Like, what, Muscan?
Yeah, I thought Muscan.
Tomac? I think it was pretty shitty of Tomac to do that whole big 250 video thing, you know, of him riding the two-stroke and not coming to the two-stroke race. But then again, I just have a hard-on for Tomac because I don't like the guy.
Right.
But especially after Motocross Nations. Yeah. Not that I have an opinion on that. Anyway.
Really? How did Barcia do?
But while we were I don't like Barcia either.
How do you not like Barcia?
I don't like Barcia.
He's as American as it gets. He's like the modern-day Doug Henry.
Yeah, I don't like... Here's what I don't like about Barcia. I don't think you should get to a point in your career where you go and become a privateer and do better. I think he owed it to his team to try as hard as he could, and he clearly did not. It wasn't until he was hungry that he had...
Until the big paycheck stopped rolling
yes,
in.
Yes, that until he had to work hard. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I think his team deserved better. I think he's so flipping lucky that his team picked him back up when what's his name got hurt? Davey Millsaps. So it ended his career. But it just is what it is. But while Red Bull was going on,
I would have liked to see a Davey Millsaps sighting at Monster Energy Cup.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that didn't happen. Maybe not at Monster Energy Cup, but Red Bull Straight Rhythm, I could see that totally happening. Since that's kind of becoming the vet race. Right? I mean, you got a bunch of retired guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a bunch of guys that have moved on to other things. Yeah. Mike Brown. If Mike Brown factors into anything, it's a vet race.
Not a vet, though.
No, he's a senior.
Yes, riding in Pro Open.
Yeah.
If you went to a motocross race, what do you think he would get?
250?
450.
In a 450 race?
Yeah.
15th?
There's no way.
You think he'd do better or worse?
He's a top 10 guy.
No.
Oh, yeah?
No.
He's got the strength.
250, you're exactly right. Not 450.
Why? He's a 450 guy.
He's a 450 off-road guy. Big difference.
He's a 450 track guy.
Surely not.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to.
We should call him.
What?
We should call him.
You have his number?
Yeah.
No, don't call him now.
We really should call him.
No.
Where's my phone?
I don't know.
Should we text him and see if he wants to talk?
Just ask him. Do you ride a 250 or a 450? He's like you. He can't have that thing on rails 24/7. He's got to have that power down low, so who cares if he makes a mistake? It's like a trophy truck. All right. So, I don't know, Dad. Jesus Christ. Okay. Shane McElrath, or McElrath, however you say that. They spelled it McElrath. Yeah, that's wrong. He wins it. I didn't think he was going to. I thought Dungy was going to beat him. Dungy looked really good all day. I don't know, Dad. But we also had a 150 class, which it says 150 here, but I think it's the 125 class because I don't remember there being a 152 stroke. But anyway, Carson Brown ends up beating Chase Markier for that.
No, seriously, where's my phone?
I don't know. I really don't. What have you done today?
Oh, everything.
Keep talking.
Jesus.
You're horrible at this.
Yeah, I know. Surprised. I mean...
Surprised?
No, I... Who the hell is Carson Brown? I mean, I've never heard of him at a motocross race, never heard of him at a supercross race. All of a sudden, he comes out, and he's beating guys like Christoph Porcel. He's beating Colton Ake, Luke Rensland, AJ Catanzaro, Ryan Surratt. I mean, guys that you actually hear about at motocross races, albeit it's a 50-50 shot on whether they make it into the top 20, but they're at every round. So, young kid, too. Excited to see where he goes. What else was there? Jesus. Oh, and I'm going to change the subject for right now because he's not here, so I get to do this. Laughlin. Laughlin was our kind of our last big thing that we did. Laughlin went well. We won. We finally won this year.
Oh, God. I leave for 2 seconds, and I come back, and you're like, oh, I won. Look at me. Oh, I'm great.
I said we won, Dad.
We. Oh, sorry.
But I could change it to I. I won. It was only me. Nobody else helped.
No, seriously. Where the hell is my phone? This is a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem that you keep losing everything that you're given.
Well, it's not like I'm not doing anything. Keep talking about you.
It's so hard to.
You're great. Why don't you talk about how we threw Travis under the bus?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I'm so sorry, Travis. We feel awful. So, Travis, on day one, decides that, hey, by the way, I'm going to show these guys what I'm really made of, and I'm going to go out and grab a second place. He beat me. He beat everyone else except for Corey Winter. Nice job, Corey. Which we really would have had it until we got a flat. But anyways, he goes out there and both of those guys put on a show. We were all within about 45 seconds within each other. So day two comes around and we're thinking, oh, yeah, we got this in the bag. So we take off, and the three of us are battling from start to finish. And, well, not the three of us, but the three of us battled from start to about 90%, on the way through of lap one, when Corey decides he's going to turn his truck into a ballerina and pirouette it down the side of the course. He's all right. Everything's okay. Just a little pride was hurt. But so Travis and I are now racing for the win. And we both had it. And lo and behold, I was slowly walking away from him. But we still had first and second secured. Even if we had a problem, I felt like we would have had first and second secured. And that's really all we cared about. It didn't matter what order we got in. Of course, we would have liked to win, but having two trucks from the same, from our camp, go 1-2 for the weekend would have been awesome. And the last lap rolls around. We're exciting. We're celebrating. I cross the finish line, and over the radio, I hear, guys, we just ran out of gas. And we're not sure what happened, but he ran out of gas.
Bad deal.
It was not good.
Bad, bad deal.
Took a really fun win to a sad leaving. But it is cool to see that you know, both of these guys can run up there and that we're, you know, prepping trucks that are of that level. So, I found your phone.
Did you?
Yeah, it's right there.
Where?
Right there. Bottom.
Here? What is it doing in there?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. So what was I going to do?
I'm not telling him. You guys can text in at home, even though you guys will be a day late. But, what? What?
Nothing. KTAR News.
Ooh.
Texted me. Baby reported missing in Chandler, found dead in mother's apartment. Awesome. Great, because America's on the way. All right. So I was going to text Mike Brown. Let's see. Mike Brown, mobile. Mike, comma. I'm sure you guys are enjoying listening to me text. So
this is going
to
be a 30-minute text right here.
Ryan Winter.
Yeah.
Has a horrible day.
Yes.
On
Saturday.
Saturday. Comes back and gets second.
On Sunday. And got second overall, actually. But, huge congratulations to Joe Fitos in his third race ever off-road. He comes out and decides that he's going to put a whooping on these boys and get a third place. So congratulations to him on making the podium. Alex rode with him on day one while John was in the truck with me. And then they flip-flopped for day two. So congratulations to him. Good job.
All right. So I just texted him.
Is that what you did?
So that was good. You know, your mom and I drove out there Thursday night in the middle of the, or Wednesday night in the middle of the night to go mark our pits because the pits opened Wednesday morning at midnight or 12:01. And we were there at 12:01. We marked our pits. Then we drove home. Then we grabbed everybody and then we left and then we went back out there. And, the race went well. It's a ton of fun. I slipped out in the truck with Vinny, and so I got my ass full of camping for a long time since I don't care to camp. Then we came home. Josh blew out his knee, and then I went to Powder Puff, which was really, really cool. Neat to do something for a good cause. We donated a truck to Angie Mitchell and Carrie Mitchell. And everybody at KWI Clutching, and it was really, really cool to see that whole deal. Pretty disappointed in the car counts. Very, very low. I think there was 24 cars, but a couple of those
total?
Cars, I think a couple of those cars played double duty, so there was 30 total entries, I think is what I heard. I don't know. Why don't you look it up? Look up more and see if they have the results. And I think kind of the bloom is off the rose. I think the excitement is gone. Once it stopped being a desert race, I think entries went down a lot. And quite frankly, I thought they did a really poor job of laying out the course for these ladies. I think they made it too simple as far as the style of driving. And these were all desert cars. They help their husbands throughout the course of the year race desert, and then when they get a chance to drive in the car, it's not in the desert, it's on short on motocross tracks, and they're really not made for that. And I thought they did a fantastic job on really what could have been a dangerous track.
45 entries,
45 total. Now I'll tell you how sparse it was. They had a morning race for the bikes and UTVs or bikes and ATVs. There was one girl in the whole thing, the whole race. She was by herself in one heat. That's pretty bad. Then two was the UTV race.
What?
Maddie Wedekind just
Wedekind
ran away with it.
Did she really?
She put on a clinic.
Good for her.
PRP seat car, you guys have seen it 1,000 times. Normally she's racing against the dudes. She put a schooling on him. Actually, I have a really cool picture of her up at Talladega Turn. There was what?
There was seven people signed up for Heat 1.
Okay, well, I'm telling you that there was a quad race, quad motorcycle race with nobody in it. I think that's Heat 1 of the cars.
No, Heat 1, Sportsman MX / ATV and Pro MX / ATV.
One person. I watched it happen.
Oh, well, the entry list, Carrie was signed up. Kimberly Nina Hamrock was signed up. Kyra Russell. That's got to be a Caleb Russell deal, right?
Or, yeah, probably. Bobby Russell, I don't know.
Tiffany Woods.
Oh, yeah, Tiffany Woods, it's for got, sure. Yeah.
That's got to be like a Robbie Woods thing, right?
Maybe.
I don't know. Eric Tahui.
Oh, Tahui.
Oh, that was Sunday only. Brandon Meehan.
Meehan.
That was also Sunday only. And Tony Nagayan.
Wow, that was almost close to it being a really bad word. Okay, so they weren't there.
Sunday
well,
only. Those were all guys.
Those were the guys. So I don't know what happened. But anyway, it was pretty light. Angie got second in her class, which was great.
In her class or her heat?
In her class, because there was a class 1 car, a couple of class 10 cars, a 5 car in her heat, and then the class 3000s, and she got second out of 2.
Gotcha. Oh. Gotcha.
But I will tell you, she drove extremely well.
Hey, any race where you don't put a trophy light on its side or its lid is a good race for us.
Right. No, it really was. I was very impressed. She had great lines. She was dealing with some adversity the first race. So
what adversity?
Oh, well, the throttle pedal was sticking a little bit.
That truck has a pullback.
A toe right? return.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she wasn't having that. And you know what it was? So when somebody got in the car to move it or to put it on the trailer or to take it off the trailer or to go race or whatever, they were using the roller, the toe clip part,
yeah,
as the pedal. So they bent the pedal into the aluminum. And once it got to the seam, it was sticking.
It was sticking.
Yeah. So that happened. And then...
gosh darn it, Travis. No wonder you ran out of gas.
Super Millennium. DeMontre.
Oh, Super Millennial.
I think forgot to put the seat pads in the car.
No, for sure forgot to put the seat pads in the car.
And he got one side, but he didn't get the passenger side.
Yeah, I know. They're in my truck.
And then little Angie Mitchell could not see over the dash, and the whole thing was just coming up over blind hills. So we had to jack her up. We literally put a jack in the seat of the car, and she drove on a jack.
Nice. So little TIG weld going on.
Little weld here. There.
Well, no, it's trophy light. Sorry. Bungee cord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I
thought. So a little bubble gum bungee cord. Yeah. Anyway, it was cool to be part of that deal.
Spit shine and
it's all for the right reasons. And damn, those girls can drive. It'd be cool to see what would happen. You know, if I don't know, there were a lot of mixed feelings about that deal. But had a great meeting with the guys from Glen Helen about doing an event there next year. Maybe the Trophy Light Nationals at Glen Helen. That's the rumor.
Oh, is that the rumor?
That's the rumor. We'll see what happens. And lots of stuff going on. So what else is up? What's happening with you?
Nothing. I just want to be able to walk normal.
That's not going to happen for a year.
Yeah, I know. What happened before then? I just won't be back to where I was prior to this.
Oh, you'll always be annoying.
No, just
ready. So has your girlfriend left you now that your meal ticket is her meal ticket's gone? You're out for the season.
No, thanks for reminding me though. She's coming over tonight.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay. What else?
Well, then my other one's coming over tonight.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. I know you like her a little better.
The one who's okay with your knee being hurt and you not being famous? Good thing you have a podcast. I just heard you hold this thing down for 7 minutes.
I honestly don't know what to do when you're gone. Yeah, we got to work on that speech thing. My thank you speech
Mike Brown says nothing yet.
Of course. He's going to do the whole girlfriend waiting for the boyfriend to respond. Look at the phone every 30 seconds. Did he respond yet? Don't do that. It makes your nose twice as big. Oh, my God.
What happened?
Grandma Donna told me that I have
a cob nose.
A cob nose.
How about that?
I don't have it. I have moms.
I know you don't. Actually, I know you don't. That's we didn't talk about that on the ride home because you jackasses slept all the way. But yeah, no, that's true. She said that, and you don't.
I don't.
Yeah.
You
kind of do with the messed up nostrils and stuff, but
yeah, but got one round one and
one triangle,
one oval. Yeah, I had to.
No, I can't stop staring. I'm sorry.
I had to ask McKenna if I had the cob nose. I'm like, do I have a cob nose? And she's like, and I'm
really?
Like, are you serious? I'm like, wait, do I have my dad's ears?
The fuck does that mean?
Dude, they're ginormous.
My ears are?
Yeah. Oh, God. You didn't
what
know
are
that?
Talking? No, it is the first time hearing of this.
Dude, they're so big.
They are not.
Yeah, they are.
You mean top to top?
Oh, top to top? No, top to bottom,
top
bud.
Top to bottom?
Oh, yeah.
What does it say?
Bigger than your dick.
Well, anything is.
Like 3 inches. But you're pushing down on it.
I'm not pushing down
yeah.
on Jack.
No, yeah, you were. So get right. Okay. Yeah, three and a quarter.
Okay, come here.
Oh God. Okay.
Three and a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yours aren't that long. 2 3/4. 7.
It makes a big difference though.
So that is podcasting at its best right there. We were measuring our ears.
Well, I just realized I had this mic turned around the whole time.
Yeah, I know. For like 2 seasons now.
No, you have yours turned around.
No, I'm talking into the mic.
No, you're not supposed to. You always told me that went towards the back.
No, that's why I put the names there. So you knew it was the back. You're supposed to be talking into the mic.
I'm talking. This whole thing is a mic. Technically, I'm talking into the mic. And I don't think it really matters. It looks the same on both sides.
Huh. Anyway,
okay, hold on.
I'm sorry, you guys.
Wait, ready? Hello?
Hello.
Is there a difference?
I didn't hear it, no. Do it again. Let me watch it on the thing.
All right.
Be the same.
Hello.
Hello.
Actually, that one didn't even get into the yellow. Excuse me. Do that again.
Hello.
That was in the red.
Hello.
Didn't even touch yellow. But that seemed quieter.
It was.
Like.
It was. Yeah, yeah. Like it was me.
Audibly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
You have to take a deep breath, really?
Okay. Ready for this.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
You're barely making it move.
Really?
I'm making it move more with me talking across the way.
Wow. Hello. A whole new world.
Yeah, so this stuff is, you know, it's high-end equipment.
Dude, it's going to be half the show is going to be.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh.
What is going on over there? All right, well, that just about wraps it up. And end show.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
I don't feel like this is a very exciting show. What do
I thought it was exciting. I mean, I've been in pain this whole time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you've been in pain this whole time.
Yeah, I know. And I'm kind of cursing at myself because I left my crutches in the living room. Because, oh my God, I thought it was a miracle I could walk today. But I'm going to need those.
You thought you were blessed by God in the middle of the night?
Yeah, Shelby just sent me a text that said, yeah, don't start going too fast because your knee will blow up. Oh, thank you for that. Pack the crutches, we go.
So what does this mean for you think, racing-wise? I mean, you're done for 6 months at least, right?
Yeah.
Of racing.
I'd really like – I was thinking about this on the ride home. I'd really like to. My goal is to be in the 1600 car and the trophy light for Rage at the River.
This year?
Next year.
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, maybe I get to race the 1600 car at Rage at the River.
That'd be cool. I think you should.
That'd be great.
I think you should.
Huh.
I think you should drive the trophy light.
Yeah.
At Rage? No?
No, I'm still mad at Snore. Snow, until we put that relationship back together, that...
Will you drive it at Mexico?
That Trophy FY did. Will I drive it in Mexico?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
If we go down to do a Mexico race, we
go.
Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Cool.
For sure.
I'd like to pit for you.
Well, that'd be great. So, what else?
What's our 1,000 plan? Who are we going with now that I can't ride or drive?
Yeah, I haven't had that talk with Preston, but Preston asked me if you could ride with him at the 1,000. I need to let him know that.
Yeah, I would. Can we at least go down there and chase?
You go down and chase?
Us go down and chase?
Yeah.
What do you mean you? I'm not going by myself.
No, I mean you're going to go in that condition?
I want to. If I haven't had my surgery by then.
I told Preston that I was going to go down and help him.
Cool.
So. I pick Shannon Moore up in San Diego at Wednesday at 7 o'clock or something.
Nice. I heard she's bringing the girl from...
Somewhere.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, don't let the cat out of the bag.
Okay.
She's bringing... the president of blank to Baja. Blank.
Blank.
Blankety blank blank.
Blank blank.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello.
Cool.
Hello.
All right. I'm going to go put my knee up.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. Sorry this is such a horrible show, but you get it.
You guys are used to it by now.
You guys.
Hey, by the way, go F yourself.
It was funny. Angie asked me the other day, you know, how come we don't do podcasts as much anymore? And a lot of things haven't happened that we were supposed to do more of. And like, I'm still waiting for the product to test from Keith Hook. And I
what product is that?
Well, he was going to send me stuff to test on the show.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And talk about and stuff. I'm still
okay.
I haven't seen that. And,
have you followed up with him on that?
Oh yeah, actually, I talked to him about it. It's been a long time since I made that proclamation. Dave Brocious, I don't know what the hell happened to him.
Oh, I was actually just thinking about him.
He fell off the face of the earth.
Because I saw a video. And his daughter was in there with KTM.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the Junior Supercross thing.
Oh, cool.
And, it was Supercross Behind the Dream, that NBC special that they did. That, like, 5-episode deal. I just wanted to see Tomac in there. Stumbled across a KTM Junior Supercross thing. But I was wondering if you guys still talked to her, where he went.
I don't know. We talked about him doing a segment on the show with the motorcycles and getting Cody Webb in here and getting, you know, all those guys. And it was his idea. He was gung-ho to do it. And then he disappeared. And I know he's had some medical problems. Maybe he forgot. Maybe he whatever. Oh, but
for sure he forgot.
But, you know, he texts me every once in a while and sends me stuff all the time. And it is what it is. So, I don't know. I'm not going to, I don't know. Dave Winter is texting me here.
Really?
What's
Ooh. What?
That's pretty damn sexy.
Oh. Oh, let me see those.
Little trophy light shock action.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long shaft.
Hey, guy, keep this PG rated. Give me that back.
Now we're saying that?
Now we're, yeah.
Seriously, that's a...
I think it's just a picture. It looks... If any... Well, maybe, because he said he was going to shorten the body. So...
Ah.
Maybe. It's got a lot of shafts.
Yeah.
Those are sexy.
Yeah, they are. Okay, wrap this bad boy up.
All right.
Bye.
See ya, bitches.
Seriously, can I have my crutches?
Oh, yeah. Where are they?
Do I have them? They're over there.
Okay. Hey, for Josh Cobb, for Super Vinny, for Jason Cobb, this is Jason Cobb signing off at the compound. Trophy light, wheel travel, off-road racing, Monster Energy Cup, Motocross the Nations, Red Bull Straight Boy Rhythm, all in the hizzy.
Red Bull Straight Boy Rhythm?
Straight Boy. What? There's no straight boys. What?
When are we going to have the first homosexual supercross racer?
How do you know we haven't?
Ooh.
And who would it be if you had to guess? Oh, my God! You did not just say that. Take that back.
What?
Take that back.
Have you seen that guy?
It is Marvin Musquin.
Okay, for sure.
For you, I will love you a long time.
He's the Jean Girard of... Just remember, if you want to be the best, you must run into the best.
You know what I got out of Glen Helen that I didn't show you or tell you? I finally got my little Acherby's...
Did you really?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And you haven't showed me...
And I haven't showed you. Well, we were fighting for 3 days.
Yep, point to death.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.